Hello, everyone. There's me doing the that. Everybody loves that when you listen to a podcast or when people like snivel and sneeze. I find that to be far worse than going with your ands and ums. I feel like this. I feel like that's not as bad. Oh boy, that's a toughie to deal with. I've stopped listening to some podcasts because of that. Anyways, I hope you're doing okay and you're not sick and you're not sniveling and you're not sucking up your mucus, snot smelling me into your lungs or head. I'm going to do something today, and I want to kick off. There's that I want to kick off with a little soup slurping in your head. I want to kick off this new kind of thing. I haven't done anything for a while. There's a lot of things going on. You know, a gamer's worst enemy, other than whatever you're fighting in the game, like a brute T-Rex or something, a furious Rajang against the machine. Come with it now. Is the greatest enemy for a gamer is depression. And things happen. So I am here today, and I'm going to I found my old Game Pro stash from back in the day. I was subscribed to this motherfucker as a birthday gift from my parents. Jesus Christ, since like, I don't know, like 93 maybe. I have an issue, the first one I'm going to do here, and actually the cover is ripped off. It was the Donkey Kong Country issue. This is a big deal to me. It's a very thick one. I remember this and this Game Pro. This is a Game Pro. I remember this and the Beavis and Butthead issues being like really thick issues, and I remember reading them front to back so many times as a kid. Because this was our social media, you know? This was our internet, you know? Was waiting for a magazine to come in the mail. It was an incredible time, and that's how I got all my information back in the day, and a lot of us did. But this issue, I picked it out particularly because it was really fucked up looking in my pile of issues. I have some that from like the early 2000s that are like immaculate condition. I don't know if these even matter or go for anything nowadays. Go for broke, but I saw this in my bin in the garage, and the front of it is, the first picture is Glop Squish Splat, the Page Master. Escape from danger with sticky hands. Well, I've had sticky hands, and I wasn't necessarily escaping from danger. I was just trying to clean up after the, you know, Red Roof Inn encounter I had from off Craigslist or whatever. Fire-breathing dragons. Swing a sword to defeat pirates. I mean, just the most generic things. You know, sticky hands, fire-breathing dragons, and defeat pirates. And Pagemaster for Game Boy, which I've actually never played that version. I've played the Genesis and the Super Nintendo version. It's not that great of a game. I've played worse. But yeah, that was the cover because the cover was ripped off from this. I used to take these to school, man. Like, I took this to elementary school. This is December 1994. Ladies and gentlemen, we are starting Game Pro December 1994. This is a thick boy. Like, it's truly thick. The tag of this hanging off, all I can see is a Revolution X arcade cab. So yeah, 94, definitely when arcade games were still popping super heavy, and that was an exciting time. I was, shit, I guess I was 10 years old at this time, December 94. Oh, what an exciting time, you know, like, you know, parents being, I guess, at the time what you would consider middle class, you know, Christmas, I would get gifts that were, you know, gifts I wanted. I would ask for like a couple Sega games or NES games or Game Boy games, and I'd get a couple of them, and it was an awesome time. And with my brothers, shouts to Al and Ethan, we were all three gamers even from a young age. Ethan was born. Ethan was 4 years old, so I don't know. I'm sure he was playing some type of game. The X-Men Tiger Electronics. I don't know what they let him have at 4 years old, but he was definitely, in the mix a little bit. Alex, was in the mi we were very young. Jesus Christ. What was Alex, six? Yeah, something like that. I don't remember our ages. I'm sorry. But this is 1994. Let's travel back in time. That's why I want to do this, because I have a whole crate of these motherfuckers, and I kind of want to just do a travel back in time. Because I'm just gonna tell you right now, I keep up with what's going on in the world nowadays, and boy, oh boy, does everything fucking suck, man. It sucks. It sucks. King K. Rool's balls, and I've never seen those because they're tucked away because he's a reptilian. He's got a good tuck game on him. But anyways, let's get started. Game Pro, December 1994. Let me take a of this, and I'll give me a second. There we go. All right. So this is a real thick issue. So I'm just gonna kind of look at what catches my interest, and talk about it from there. So what is this ad here? It says rocket science. Is this supposed to be like a subliminal, like Jaguar ad? Okay, I'm gonna look into this. 1994, Rocket Science logo, the legend of Tolly Bodine and trademarks of Rocket Science Games, Cadillacs and dinosaurs. Trademarks of General Motors Corporation? Holy shit. I did not. I guess you have to have that. General Motors can trademark the word dinosaurs. That's incredible. All other trademarks are the property of their respective owners. Was this? Oh no, this is one of those Sega CD like we're in the future ads. Oh God. Okay. Yeah, dude, now I remember. That's what this is. What a fucking. Never had a Sega CD. I remember me and Alex, my brother, trying to save up whatever pittance we could from like cutting grass or whatever little things we were doing. We would buy like trolls and battle trolls, the stone trolls, the stone protector trolls, and the battle trolls with our like $5 we would get from helping mom hang Avon catalogs on doors, and also like cutting the grass and stupid shit like that. I remember that, man. That's another reason I'm doing this, because I have a pretty good memory, to be honest. Despite my short-term memory being fried because of all the drugs. But I do remember this. Me and Alex hanging those Avon books on doors in like Montfort Heights area, and mom driving us around and making us be her little workhorses, but knowing that we get an action figure afterwards. You get $5, you can get an action figure, a magazine, maybe a magazine and some pogs if you were lucky. I wish the cover price was still on this one. It'll be on the a few of the other ones we do for sure. Sega CD. But what I was getting back to is me and Alex were trying to save up money to get a 32X, which I guess was a little bit in the future at this point. And this ad's just insane. It's just like this matrixy, like it has just all these like, come in, Japanese letter XX. Do you read Tulia? You hear me? Do you read Tulia? I'm gonna fry your ass. this is, and that's, you know, the Q-bert exclamations and stuff. It's not actually saying ass. Science game one lodestar. Do you read? This is IROC. This is awful advertising, by the way. I think this really sucks. Lodestar, the legend of Tully Bodine. I don't like anything about that. The name, maybe that's an awesome game. It probably is, but Cadillacs and Dinosaurs. This is not the Cadillacs and Dinosaurs. That's the CPS1 beat 'em up. That's actually pretty fun. This is just, I think it's like a FMV kind of game. I think a lot of those games existed on Sega CD. It looks kind of shit. So we're going to, oh boy, this is a big deal. Plug in, lock on, break out. Only Sega's got it. It's the Sonic and Knuckles, ad where you could put your Sonic 3 onto Sonic and Knuckles and also put your Sonic 2 onto Sonic and Knuckles as seen on MTV. Holy shit. That's funny. Save $10 by mail with Lifesavers. Yeah, I mean, that was a revolutionary thing. I mean, we've never really seen anything like that today till, you know, to this day, you know, DLC. This was the original DLC. It was Sonic and Knuckles. I remember kids in school calling him Knuckles. Crazy. Wow. Whose opinion is it anyway? This is the mail section. This might be the, like, an extreme. This is one of the more interesting sections of this, I'd say. Andrew Hoover's letter raises a question that many readers have asked about, whose opinions were expressed in that two-page Nintendo ad. When the controversial ad ran on pages 30 and 31 of our May issues, we were careful to put the word advertisement at the top because the ad looked like it could have been an editorial page. A lot of readers thought it was written by the GamePro editors, or in April, the LamePro editors. Nothing could be further from the truth. GamePro writers and editors don't participate in the ad creation process. Advertisers don't tell us what to say in their articles, and we don't tell them what to say in their ads. M with a E-M. So to answer Andrew's question, those opinions were solely Nintendo's, since the company created the ad and purchased space for it. In fact, you may have seen the exact same ad in other video game magazines. As you flip through the magazine, be sure you know what you're looking at. Feature articles, previews, and pro reviews give you official opinion of the GamePro editors. Ads provide a look at the newest games, but they can say almost anything the advertisers want them to. Okay, so that's why you see all these crazy ads that are, a lot of sexual stuff, and, I guess, like, misogynistic shit you would see in the 90s in video game ads, and really, really crazy. So they just kind of had free reign in these ads because they were the big companies that would pay the money to put in the little magazines like GamePro and EGM and whatnot, which, granted, these were the vessels that got the kids talking about shit and got the parents to buy stuff. You know what I mean? Like, these motherfuckers were made potentially more important when it came to selling things, you know, producing hardware and software, that's on Sega and Nintendo and Capcom and whoever. But, you know, GamePro and EGM and these were the vessels that you got your shit through. So them being so nasty in the ads was the sign of the fucking times, you know, like that, their balls were in a vice. There was nothing these magazines and editors could really do. They just, like, all right, put this weird, like, you know, sexual ad in my thing. Yeah. Whatever. Anyway, it's not like I don't see right-wing propaganda on fucking X all the fucking time. You know, I like, you know, people don't like calling it, I like calling it X because it makes it sound dumber and it makes you feel stupid for using it, which I do. And I should feel stupid for using it. Anyways, you don't need social media. All you need is a fetus of pod, you know. Fuck the, whatever you're giving him for your blue check mark, give Fetus the Pod $5 a month, okay? I'm dying over here, motherfucker. Give me $3, $5, a dollar. I don't care. The editors are dying.
Yeah. Previews, reviews, blah, blah, blah. Opinion of the game provided. Give you the official opinion. Ooh. Ads provide a look at the newest games, but they can say almost, yeah, anything advertisers want to do. And when in doubt, check out the index of advertisers in the back pages. If it's listed there, it's paid.
Can you imagine being in your teens or 20s in the 90s? That one of the things I'm really fascinated about is the otaku Bellamy that are a generation above me. Like the motherfuckers that are potentially like 10, you know, maybe even 5-6 years older than me. Those are the true old taku. Because they were like of age to have like a shitty job at Subway or something in the 90s and work and make money to buy these things, you know, when I was still indebted to my parents because I was a literal fucking child. I can't even imagine. Like, smoking weed, working a shitty job and playing video games, buying video games, being a video head in the 90s. That's a whole different feeling. Like, it just had to have been. I'm not saying anything's better than it was, you know, because, like, Reagan happened and then, you know, we're still in what we're in. But Jesus fucking Christ, man. I'll move away from that, though. Advertisers have their opinions, and we have ours. If there's a claim that a game is the world's greatest, or the most intense, or the best looking, or gives any other strong opinion, ask yourself who wrote those words. If it's a game pro editor, you know the opinion is based on fair, independent comparisons with other games or systems. We stake our reputation on it. Like, man, you know, this is incredible to read back on, because the game pros at San Mateo, California. I was not old enough to comprehend this shit. All I wanted to see was games, read a bit about the games, and see if they scored Fun Factor 5.0. You'll know, if you don't know, you'll end up knowing what that means.
Okay. Oh, cool. So the first, in the mail here. Ads and articles. All right. Your May issue had a controversial 2-page article called Smashing the Myth of Speed and Power. It compared the Genesis to the SNES and put down Sega at every chance. Was this written by one of your writers, or was it a pre-written ad? Andrew Hoover from Grove City, Ohio. Let's look up where Grove City, Ohio is. That sounds familiar. For some reason. Let's see. Well, I said people like slurp on their streams. I'm going to burp and drink. Hang on. Grove City is an hour and 31 minutes away from here. Was that? Oh, that's like Columbus. Yeah, it's like right outside Columbus. It's just some... Okay, yeah, cool. Alright. Yeah, this guy. He was an hour and 30 away from me. Andrew Hoover. And then the editor from GamePro, Toxic Tommy, replies, controversial is the right word to describe the paid advertisement. It was indeed an ad, as it said at the top of both pages. So this was like a thing. People were kind of like, with the console wars, people were like, hey, why the fuck are you promoting, you know, Sega? Why are you promoting SNES? Like, are you Republican or Democrat? Would you say that Sega was more of the democratic system? I think so. I would say so. I feel like they were definitely more of the underdog. Nintendo already staked its claim, you know what I mean? Like, Master System wasn't even close to a household name than NES. Sega's Democrat, Nintendo's Republican. Honestly,
That's still, I would say that's still, I'm getting a little excited. I feel like that's kind of still true. I mean, fuck both Republican and Democrat, but fuck both Nintendo and Sega too. But damn. You know, I'll tell you this. On this podcast, I'm not, you know, nothing good's going to happen to me. So I'm not saying like, oh, Nintendo's good or Sega's good. I think they're all fucking terrible. But they definitely gave us the memories we had as children. You know what I mean? Controversial is the right word to describe paid advertising. It was indeed an ad, as it said on the top of both pages. We received dozens of letters debating the issues brought up in the comparison of the two 16-bit systems. GamePro writers had no input in the ad's content. See the adjacent letter from the GamePros for more discussion. They covered their asses. Good for them. They had documentation for this stuff. You know what I mean? I like these mailbags. Like, Jesus, these could take me forever. There's so much in this issue. I'll be honest. I'm probably going to cut this like an hour and just kind of like, because I doing more than an hour talking like makes my voice go away. So, oh, shit. There's so much here. I didn't realize the gold that this was, to be honest. All right, so on to mailbag question two. GamePro readers speak out. What an they are very political here. I love this. Cart queries. In your July issue, Poker Face Paul's Blackjack and Poker Face Paul's Poker, both for the Game Gear, were rated MA-13 ratings. Okay, so I think the rating system came out when Mortal Kombat 2 came out. I'm actually going to look up real quick what the release date. It was a Mortal Monday is what they always had it. I did not get it then. That game was so expensive, dude. Like, let me see. Oh, no, they're talking about Mortal Kombat 2 for... Ah, Jesus Christ. That's not what I want, world. I want the old one. Okay, September 13th, 1994, dubbed Mortal Tuesday, because the original was Mortal Monday. Hell fucking yeah. Game Boy, Game Gear, SNES, and Genesis versions were released simultaneously on September 13th, 1994, dubbed Mortal Tuesday by Acclaim's Marketing. Okay, that's what I wanted. So what is Mortal Kombat 2? I guess they came on MK1 recently, right? For the for whatever. Okay. Anyways, let's go to Poker Face Paul. I remember playing this on my cousin's Game Gear. She had a Game Gear, and the only game she had was like Poker Face Paul's Poker and like, I don't know, Sonic. And my cousin Steph, I played, I don't fucking remember the game she had, but I remember playing poker on Game Gear. Does that mean they're as bloody as Mortal Kombat for having an MA-13 rating? Well, Mortal Kombat 2 had an MA-17 rating, so that's completely fucking different. This guy's wild. Clint Wolbert from Lucinda, Pennsylvania. And the editor Earth Angel replies, games don't have to be bloody to get an MA-13 rating. Mature themes in this case. Gambling for money. Ah, I didn't think about that. Gambling is like a bad. We still do that with DraftKings. Shout outs to DraftKings. If you want to sponsor me, I'm like Jeffrey from Toys R Us. I got a long neck. You can call me the Giraffe King, and my long neck is in my pants. Gambling for money, which in casinos is illegal for minors, will also bring on the MA-13. Oh, so gambling is okay if you are under 13 years old. If America has not understood... Look, when I went to rehab... No. When I went to rehab for getting a DUI when I was 21 years old... I am 39 now, by the way. I'm a completely different person, by the way. When I went to rehab and had to do probation shit when I was 21, they told me, they said,
they said, didn't have any of you in here ever gambled on anything? And I raised my hand, and they asked everyone what it was specifically. And the only reason I did that is because I thought, you know, this was a, well, definitely a little different. Damn, my sound peak, sorry. Definitely a little different than, you know, these motherfuckers saying, I went to the casino in Indiana. Like, yeah, okay, you fucking, okay, boss, you know. But, whatever. The Blanca Aism combos. They asked me, and I was like, yeah. They're like, you gamble? I was like, yeah, you know, I'm a deceiving looking person. I just look like a white nerd, but like, I've done a lot of crazy shit, you know what I'm saying? And I was like, yeah, I betted on Justin Wong over Yipes and Sanford at Season's Beatings. And they were like, what does that mean? I was like, I was at a video game thing, and I bet on a guy to win at a match or whatever. And they were like, oh, that's still gambling. You have an addiction. And I was like, my addiction is I want to get the fuck out of here and get really high. You know what I mean? Like, fuck you. You know, fuck the establishment for making people feel like that. Yeah, they literally, like, you have a gambling addiction. I've only done this, I only do this once a year. You know what I mean? And I don't know if he's a good guy or not, but shouts to Hovad Khan. If you don't know who he is, I guess look him up. His old videos are funny. I hope he's not, like, a right-winger or something now. I have no clue, but that guy gave me my money. Shouts to him. He gave me my money. I put money down. He came outside. I was smoking cigarettes. I smelled terrible. And he came and gave me my money outside. So shouts to him. But they said I was a gambler because of that. So yeah. Gambling for money, which in casinos is illegal for minors, will also bring on the MA-13. Note that the two other games on that page, the pool and the solitaire games, don't involve gambling. And so they have a GA rating, the general audience rating. Ah. That's interesting. I actually, like, kind of never, like, thought about that, I guess. Poker Face Paul immediately gets an MA-13. Ooh, this seat feels good. I got a heated, like, because the heat is broken in this house, and it's going to cost, like, $6,000 to fix. I got a space heater and a heated, like, little pad here for the cats, but I'm using it for my butt. Oh, and I have to read this one. I'm going to tell you, I don't know how long I'm going to go for this, but, like, Jesus fucking Christ, I'm spending so much time on just the mailbag section. You know, I'm probably gonna break this up into parts, just letting you know, because it's just this is amazing. I'm having a thrilling fucking time. Like, I don't remember half this shit, man. I was a kid, you know, I was a child, and I have these artifacts. It's pretty amazing. I'm sure you can find the PDFs online. Not nearly as fun, man. And I bet them ads are taken out because of regional shit. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not as fun. Anyways, I got to move on. Thank you for hanging in there. Poker Face Paul, MA-13, no matter what. Here we go. From Richard Johnson of Plymouth, Minnesota. Oh, you know Richard Johnson. So here's Richard Johnson's question to the Game Pro editors. I enjoyed the actor's work in Mad Dog McCree for the Sega CD. Unfortunately, there was no cast list at the end of the game, so I don't know who played my favorite character, the Prospector. Can you identify any of the actors? Says Richard Johnson from Plymouth, Minnesota. Uggs the Bug replied. American Laser Games shot the footage for the game in its home state, New Mexico. Oh, so Mad Dog McCree was shot in New Mexico. That's incredible. And they used local actors to fill the roles. Ben Zeller played the kindly old prospector, and Mad Dog himself was portrayed by Rusty Dillon. Identifying credits do run at the end of the arcade game. Okay, let's look up both of those actors real quick. Hang on. Let's see, Ben Zeller, he was He's 90 years old. I think he's still alive. He's born in Manchester, New Hampshire. Highland, Arts directed Crazy Heart, Beowulf, and Highlander Endgame. Interesting. Now let's look at the other guy. So he's like an actual director. And then Rusty Dillon. I don't like the name Rusty, to be honest. It just makes me... Let's type in Mad Dog McCree. Man, that game, I remember that being at the Dead Mall that the Arcade Legacy was at. If anyone listening ever has been there or knows the lore or the legend of the Dead Mall, that mall, I've said this a million times, I'll probably never stop talking about it, was the premier arcade in the Cincinnati area back in the 90s. And that's where me, my brothers, Zach Ayleris, would go. He worked there at one point. Diego, Derek Legend, a good amount of us kind of like came from that. We kind of, that was definitely a test your metal area, and it was definitely it was more so just a hangout. It wasn't like that serious, but like, you know, you would see the people here and there that were like serious, you know what I mean? Granted, I only really went there like once a week because I didn't live that close to it. But yeah, it was the shit for a while. That arcade was definitely a spot to be. And they had a Mad Dog McCree set up there. And I remember it's like, whoa, this is like movies, but games. But I always felt like there was just a very cheesy, not, I think it's cool, but it was just seemed very cheesy to me. I would just like rather play Virtua Cop, like video games would just be cheesy in general, but like the like live action, and then you're shooting the live action guy and these does the movement and stuff. I was like, yeah, I don't know. It's kind of corny. It's cool as shit in retrospective, but, I was never a Mad Dog McCree guy. I was more of a Virtua Cop, Time Crisis guy when it came to the gun stuff. Point Blank, too. I was more like the fantasy stuff. I didn't... You know, those are cop games, but they're done in 3D. But Mad Dog McCree and stuff like that, that wasn't really my taste. I always felt that was very, very weird. Man, I'm going down a rabbit. See, here's the thing. Is everything mentioned in this magazine, I can literally go down a fucking rabbit hole about. And I am about Mad Dog McCree because that game struck me. That was like a big deal at the time. Okay. Enough about Mad Dog McCree, to be honest. Like, I kind of want to get through. I at least want to get through the mail in an hour, to be honest. Yeah, and they filmed that in New Mexico, which is incredible. All right, so we have another question here from Remo Fickler. That's an incredible name. REMOFICKLER. Remo Fickler from Albany, California. Or is that Canada? That's Albany is it's CA is what it says. So we're going to leave it at that. Captain Squideo replies. Hang on. Remo Fickler's question. That name got me so off track. I can't do these. I can't. These magazines are going to. This is a thick one. This is going to be like a 3-parter, 4-parter, man. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. Okay, so here's Remo Fickler's question. Shockwave for 3DO is amazing. Between the levels, there are brief commentaries. Are these excerpts from the original War of the Worlds broadcast? Wow, the Orson Welles War of the Worlds. Maybe they are. Let's see. Captain Squideo replies, no, though there is a similarity between the two broadcasts. Orson Welles' radio hit broadcast the night before Halloween in 1938. Damn, was that long ago? I was born in the 80s. It seemed like that, you know, seemed pretty close. Was based on the novel by H.G. Wells. The broadcast wasn't set in Egypt, Peru, Las Vegas, or any other location that are the backgrounds for Shockwave. It was a fictional news report that came out of New York and supposedly described an alien invasion in New Jersey. Thousands of listeners panicked when they... Panicked when they heard the realistic sounding reports and tried to evacuate their towns. And when I see a picture of Shockwave, yeah, it's as it says, it's not quite New Jersey. It actually doesn't look that great at all. It looks like a bad version of Descent. If you remember the game Descent, it's like a first person shooter, spaceship, sometimes going through small corridors like a Doom. And Shockwave looks terrible. It looks absolutely awful. And Remo Fickler thought that Shockwave, Remo Fickler says Shockwave for 3DO is amazing. And it looks like fucking shit. It looks horrible. Okay. Not quite New Jersey. That's very funny. Okay, so another question here. Benjamin Flesher from Atlanta, Georgia. This one's for KJOC here. His friend Benjamin Flesher. Whatever happened to Tech Magic, Sylvester, and Tweety for the Genesis? You reviewed it in June, but I never saw the game over the summer. Also, will there be any tricks for it? Dude, I'll have to say one thing. Our friend, I grew up on the street with our friend Brandon. Brandon Bias. Shout outs to you. He had Bugs Bunny's Birthday Bash for NES, and I really loved that game, and also the Crazy Castle games with Bugs Bunny. So I've always been into like Looney Tune games. So Tech Magic's Sylvester and Tweety for Genesis, I was actually not very privy on that. The Bugs Bunny like anniversary game for Genesis was Rabbit Rampage. That was fucking, dude, that game was great. I feel like the mechanics could have been better, but it was super fun because all you got was that stupid kick at first. But anyways, let's talk about Tweety and Sylvester for Genesis. I remember this editor, Lawrence of Arcadia, and I remember Scary Gary. And I also remember an editor named Anonymous, which is funny. I thought the editor's name was Anonymous, because they always had a Sonya Blade picture for Anonymous. So I thought Anonymous was like the name of a person. And I had to look up in the dictionary what Anonymous meant. Because GamePro fooled us kids. I had no idea. Anyways, here we go. Lawrence of Arcadia. That's a great name. Vampire of Arcadia replies... Just when the game was scheduled to come out in June, Tech Magic sold it to Time Warner Interactive. TWI made some minor changes in the game, mostly to make it slightly easier, and then officially released it in August. As for tricks, here's how to reset the clock to zero. This is like having a Nintendo Switch and playing Pokemon. Pause the game and press up, A, B, C, C, A, up, C, 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 up. This tip should give you all the time you need to finish any level. This is like a Gunstar Heroes type thing. Or a Vector Man screen. Next to the difficulty meter is a new access listing that lets you, that tells you how far you can go in the game at any difficulty percentage. Use the pad trick listed above to change the time in the upper right corner to 00. That's just cheating. Well, I guess that's what cheats and cheat codes were for, right? Just cheating. To be honest, guys, I'm gonna read the mail bag section and call it an episode, because this might be the most interesting part of the magazine, to be dead fucking honest, because that's a time capsule for sure. But anyways, let's go on to the next question. This is from Richard Escalante, Belize City in Belize. Can you Belize that? What happened to Battle Belize or Battle Blaze for the SNES. It was advertised in October 93, but it's never come out. I find this hilarious because the guys saying like Sylvester and Tweety and then Battle Belize, these things never came out. It's like, bro, you just could not find them. You know what I mean? Like, if your closest local store did not have them, you might have to drive further to find that. You might have to go to another fucking state that had a different, like, array of games in their catalog that they bought due to demographic, due to interest, due to a million different fucking things as to why they had different games than your local shop. I'll never forget. We didn't really have a local shop here. It was like Northgate Mall. And they had a pretty good... I remember in the late 90s, they had a pretty good like import section. But I remember I never... I always wanted the American version of Mega Man X4. And the only place that had it was the Babbage's in Kenwood Town Center. The Kenwood Mall. And I remember... My family, we went out there for whatever reason. I had some type of money saved up for grass cutting. Whatever. It was like $40. And I bought that. And that fucking, that plastic, you know, jewel case that could break at any point. And I was just so happy to have that. And we had to, I know the family didn't go there specifically for that. We went for there for just, I guess, just to go like do something. Or maybe like there was like, I think there was like a restaurant near there that we wanted to go to and meet like friends or something. I don't remember. But I remember going to that place, and that's where the GameStop in Kenwood Town Center is now, which is like not even close to as cool. But I remember buying Mega Man X4 and being like, okay, you know, I scouted this game out. You know what I mean? Like, cause the one Northgate never had it. The one like, you know, 10 minutes from my house didn't have it, but the one that was 30 minutes from my house fucking did. So anyways, I understand your gripe here, Richard Escalante. Battle Blaze for SNES never came out. So Ben D. Rules replies, the editor, it did finally reach shelves at the beginning of 94 and is still available at the majority of toy stores. Toys R Us, that's a different place you gotta check too, man. The malls and Toys R Us, you know what I mean? We published Dr. Dave's Pro Review a year earlier, June 92. Damn, the thing was in the incubator. According to American Sammy, the creators of Guilty Gear, this is way in the future. Way in the future. A combination of factors, some minor bugs that had to be removed, Nintendo's lengthy approval process, and American Sammy's move from California to Illinois, stalled the actual release. So Battle Blaze by American Sammy, it posted the review. It got a 4, because 5.0 is the highest in GamePro. It got a 4.5 in graphics, a 4.0 in sound, a 5.0 in control, and a 4.5 in fun factor. And the challenge of the game is intermediate. That sounds like a great weekend blockbuster rental. You know what I mean? Like, controls are great. Everything's a 4.0. And the challenge is intermediate. It's something you could sit down in a weekend and not get pissed at, you know? All right. Someone check out Battle Blaze and get back to me. So here's another question. We're just going to go through the mailbag, actually. Because it's actually very extensive. It kind of had to be, right? Back in the day. So. What is this, like, random thing? Want a good video game challenge in Baltimore, Maryland? Take on 12-year-old Raymond Fields Jr. and watch out. Good for Raymond Fields Jr. You got a little picture posted. That's fucking amazing. Can you imagine, as a kid, having your picture posted in this magazine? I mean, it's like, it was harder than getting on the fucking internet. Because I'm doing this now and I'm on the internet. Like, it's not a big deal. It's all up to me if I want to post shit. It's all up to you if you want to listen to this garbage. But anyways. So here we go. This is J.C. Ayla, Cambridge, Ontario, Canada. In your September 93 issue where you previewed Mega Man X, I've beaten the game, but I didn't recognize three of the screens you showed. They were of a white city. Well, let me tell you about Scottsdale, Arizona. They were of a white city. Also, you mentioned two new friends for Mega Man, RX and RY. Oh, geez, here comes the Mortal Kombat nude code. I didn't see them either. Can you explain? This was a beautiful, magical time we lived in. When your stupid motherfucker at school would make up shit about video games. Mortal Kombat 2 nude code was such a thing in my elementary school. It just did not stop getting talked about. And it was not real. I was one of the first kids to have the fucking console version of the game. And there was no code for it. There was actually a fake code for it. I think, I don't remember if it was NEGM or GamePro. It was put in some magazine. As I said, these things were pretty sick back in the day. And it was not true. But I had friends. I had a friend, an ex-friend of mine, who would not stop talking about that it was true. Granted, he never saw it. And even if he did, I mean, come on. What's the big deal here? Stupid as fuck. But anyways, Lance Boyle, the correspondent from GamePro, replies, "You're right. Those White City screens aren't in the game, and neither are RX and RY," which just meant Prescription and Orion. Capcom spokesperson Lori Thornton, who owns the gas station chain Thornton's, says that all these features were present when we previewed the game in July 93 for a September issue. But between July and the game's release in December 93, Capcom changed the story and some of the levels as a result. The White City and Mega Man's two pals disappeared. What is this White City? This was
just like a screen that they previewed at like E3 or some shit one year. And like these fucking nerds were just like obsessed with it because it wasn't in like the final game. And it was probably just like the first like stage of the game, like a beta or prototype for the game to test it.
Yeah, fucking. Okay, sure. All right, here we go. Fighting words. It's good. It's good for our fighting game crowd here, right? So this is a question from Ajax McNeil and Fort Polk, L.A. Video games have evolved, so why do companies still use the same corny fighting stances for most of their fighting characters? Damn, this is a question I should use now. It's almost always the same. Jump to one side and you're right-handed, on the other side and you're left-handed, and you stand in that typical Karate Kid pose.
This is just people trying to knock the trend of fighting games, you know what I mean? This guy's just a dick.
And there's a picture of Blue Suede Goo, the Elvis impersonator in Clay Fighter. You calling me the Karate Clay? And this is so we have two fighting game things. So Nick, and then that was one question, and this is also Nick Rapare. These are just fucking angry incels, which, you know, as fighting game players, it makes sense. From Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Last year, Mortal Kombat came out on the cartridge systems first, and then it finally reached the Sega CD. Now, MK2 has hit the cartridge system. Will MK2 also eventually be released for the Sega CD? Because I'm so fucking elite.
You fucking rich piece of shit. The Obliterator replies, a top acclaimed spokesperson says that there are no plans at this time for a Sega CD version, so even if it ever does happen, it won't be for a while, you rich fucking bitch. No, here's the thing. That's what this kid is doing. I want to play the Elite version. Did it come out for Sega CD? Honestly, I'm not even looking that up, because it didn't pertain to me, okay? So I don't care, okay? And it didn't pertain to you either, because who fucking gives a shit? Yeah, it might look a little bit better. The game still is Mortal Kombat 2. Okay, I just put a picture of Liu Kang. That's funny. So, okay, let's go to Address Central. It's where you can give out your address and you can get doxxed in 1994. This is from Jason Cox of Louisville, Kentucky, or Louisville if you're crazy. Can you forward my ideas to Ed Boon, the lead programmer MK2, or can I at least have his address?
Wow. No. No! No! No. Somebody set us up the bomb, and you're not going to fucking do it. Jason Cox from Louisville, Kentucky? And then Serenade replies. Serenade. Okay, I get it. Yeah, that's good. I'm trying. See, when I was a kid, I did not understand these names at all. The puns, the whatever. Scary Larry was the only one I understood because that's nothing. But Serenade. I had no idea. I was a fucking child. Replies. We get lots of letters asking us to forward ideas, drawings, and questions to different companies. Unfortunately, we can't forward any of these, and we suggest you write directly to the company you want. Their addresses are usually on the game box. Damn, that's doxing, motherfucker. Ed Boon got doxed on the box, right? Dox box. Here's the address of the MK guys. Bud Friesel, a game pro in Forest, Ohio. Track down the numbers for you. Send questions, compliments, and suggestions to name of person you're writing to. Williams/Bally Midway, 3401 North California Avenue, Chicago, Illinois. That's confusing. North California Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 60618-5889. Ed Boon, top left. John Tobias, top right. And the artist who created MK2. Fuck, man. This is crazy. I mean, like, really, again, like, can you imagine writing in to a magazine and have no idea if you were going to get featured or not? And if you got fucking featured, you're either cool or dumb as absolute fuck question. Got featured. No one cared but you and your parents. You were, and the $20 they spent on your subscription and the $40 they spent on their prescription, you know what I mean? So it's just like, can you imagine the feeling? I never had a reply. I think I wrote one time. And it was definitely about Donkey Kong Country, because, like, and that's what this issue is. That was such a big deal. The graphics and all that shit. Here's the thing. These newsletters take me off topic. When I was in elementary school, fourth or fifth grade, Donkey Kong Country came out in 1994, and I was part of the school newspaper as a kid, and I asked them if I could do a video game column, and they said sure. You know it's what the kids are into, then it'll make the kids care about the stupid school newspaper other than the boring shit the adults are writing about, like drugs and cigarettes. And I was like, let me do a report on video games. And I did a little journalism, and I wrote a review on Donkey Kong Country. And I got to go to the computer lab and type it out on a keyboard. And I had it all written down, you know. I typed it out, and I was like, can I have a picture on here? And they had this generic picture of a little monkey hanging by its tail eating a banana on this, like, 1994 computer. I printed it out, and then they printed it, you know, a million times and made that into the school. I made that into the school paper. Whatever. But this Game Pro, I wanted to be a journalist at one point. Now I don't. Like, absolutely not. But yeah, anyways, Donkey Kong Country was a big deal. This issue, there was a lot going on in the gaming world. So I'm going to finish the news section, and then we're going to do this. But we still got a lot to go for. Let's get technical. When I bought an SNES Game Genie over a year ago, it cost about $60. The systems are now on sale for $34.99. What happened? Holy fucking shit. Can you imagine? That was Juan C. Fong Sam, Ponce, Puerto Rico. The lab rat replies, according to Galoob, The company simply adjusted the price to match the realities of the marketplace. Price cuts like this one happen with every new piece of technology, whether it's a calculator, car alarm, stereo, or game system. They all start out at a much higher price than where they finish, Galoob says. It doesn't plan on taking the price any lower. Then 60, now 35, what's next? Oh, now here's a picture of someone with a Sonic the Hedgehog tattoo. You've heard of wearing your heart on your sleeve. How about wearing your favorite video game star on your arm? That's where Eric Squires of Danville, Illinois shows off Sonic. Haven't we been to Danville? Code corrections. In your June issue, you gave a Game Genie code for Mega Man X. The Super Jump code DB8A-1FCB didn't work. Stephen Marcotte of New Baltimore, Michigan. Maybe you fucked up, Stephen Marcotte, you idiot. The Kingfisher replies, those buzz codes are a paid advertisement from Galoob. We don't create those codes or test them out. If you can't get them to work, call Galoob's helpline 513. Yo, hang on. Cincinnati, Galoob's helpline at 513-868-8835 or write to 2350 Hamilton Avenue, Pleasant, Ohio, 45015. What the fuck? This shit was like literally down the street from me? 513-868-8835? What? No. You know what? I'm gonna fucking look this shit up. We're fucking, you're fucking kidding me right now. You're kidding me right now. Hang on. I gotta look this up. Galoob, Cincinnati. I know like Kenner was like here. For a while. Alright, I'm tripping. Because it says 513-868-8835. Hamilton Avenue. Like, dog. I mean, Hamilton Avenue is very long. But it's right fucking outside my door. Like, it's pretty crazy. Wow. So, if you had problems with your Game Genie, you could come to my house and have them figured out. And I didn't have a Game Genie until, like, I think my cousin got a Game Shark for Game Boy to cheat in Pokemon. Yeah, sounds about right. I'm gonna just finish this out real quick. So, the magazine biz. Why don't you review Lynx games? My friends and I have lynxes. You're the only ones, you bobcats. And now we don't know what lynx games to buy because you've stopped rating them. John Vickers of Oxnard, California. There's like some really good hip-hop that's come out of Oxnard, California. Andromeda replies, we stopped rating them because Atari stopped making new ones. Lately, we've answered the same kind of questions about games for the NES Duo, TurboGrafx Duo, and Neo Geo. Some months there simply aren't any new games to review. Some readers even accused us of favoring the SNES over the Genesis or vice versa because some months we'll review more games for one system than another. Dude, people were so on that train of like SNES or Genesis. We don't control what games are released. All we do is review what's available in any given month. And some months there are more for one system than another. Ninja Gaiden 3, the last Lynx game reviewed in March 94. It looks pretty bad, to be honest. All right. So this is Danny Henney of Yelm, Washington. Sometimes on the release date of games, you say available third quarter 94. What does this mean? Have you ever played football, you idiot? And why don't you just give the exact month? Bro Buzz replies. Bro Buzz from Pit Fighter replies,
Divide the year into 3 month sections. Oh, he's just about to school his ass. He's just going to call him an idiot here. And you have, because like, if you call someone an idiot, they can't rebuttal on Twitter. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you just call someone a fucking moron on here and they can't come get you. A third quarter game would come out in either July, August, or September. We print what the game manufacturers tell us. And that's the thing, guys. You have to remember that. They print what the game manufacturers tell them. Those were the higher powers back then. And sometimes the most accurate they can be is third quarter or fourth quarter and so on. If the actual release date changes because the game company changed it, not GamePro. From Owensburg, Kentucky, it's the Super Gilmore Bros, Josh and Dusty. That's Dusty getting Spock's Vulcan death grip. Okay, all right. And I think this is like the last one for the mailbag, and I'm actually going to end this part of the episode here because we're kind of far in. Man, dude, it's been like literally like four pages, and I could talk for a fucking hour. I truly love revisiting this shit because I remember so much. Like, this is great. Very, very emotional. A lot of Ohio stuff. I mean, that's like gamers. What were we supposed to do in fucking Ohio but play video games? There's nothing else to fucking do in fucking Ohio but play video games. Reader report. Here's a good suggestion from Adam Conrad, a game pro living in Dry Ridge, Kentucky, which I don't think is far from here either. I enjoy your reader report because it gives us a chance to vote on different things. Why not have readers vote on their all-time favorite MK fatalities? Sounds pretty good, Adam. Okay, game pros, tell us what your favorite MK fatality is, either from the original MK or MK2, including all the home and arcade versions, including every finishing move, babality, friendship, and so forth. Just send in one vote by December 15th, 1994. Be sure to write reader report really big on the outside of your envelope. That's what you had to do back then to get your shit to stand out. Write really big on the fucking envelope. That's incredible. Write really big and you might make it big. We'll tally them up and report back on the favorite MK Final Flurry in an upcoming issue. There are no prizes or anything. It's just a vote to see what your favorite is. It's democracy in action. Well, in Katana's MK2 fatality, is Katana's MK2 fatality your favorite? Fuck no. It's so much generic shit. She just cuts your head off with a fan. Like, it's not, it doesn't suck. It's just like, not like, I mean, Sub-Zero pulling the spinal cord, like, that's way more, like, iconic and, like, cooler. Fuck, even Scorpion doing the fire, you know? I don't know. What do you think? This is your magazine, so tell us what you'd like to see in it. Send your suggestions to GamePro Magazine, Dear Editor, P.O. Box 5828, San Mateo, California, 94402. Do it now, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry, but no art can be returned and we cannot send personal replies to your letters because we do not have the fucking internet. I'm going to say, like, I'm going to cut this part here. And, man, we got a lot of more joyous reading to do. That might be the most fun section. I mean, this is a thick fucking game pro. So, December 1994, we got a lot to talk about. I hope you enjoyed, and I will be back next time for that. And if you got any mailbag questions, send them in to me. So, thanks. All right, peace. Bye-bye.